Next panel is going to be chaired by Fred Levine, Professor and Director of the Sanford Children's Health Research Center. Fred, thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's, I suppose, very appropriate to have a diabetes session after we've all been overeating. So just to put us all on the same page, you know, diabetes is inadequate control of blood glucose due to absolute or relative insulin insufficiency, and of course insulin is produced from this group of cells called an islet of Langerhans within the pancreas, and these are the green cells are the beta cells that secrete insulin, and the red cells are glucagon cells. So this is an endocrine organ within a sea of exocrine tissue within the pancreas. There are two major forms of diabetes. Type 1, the juvenile onset form, which is an autoimmune disease, and you can see here that islet of Langerhans with the insulin cells being attacked by this army of CD3-positive T lymphocytes. And these ultimately invariably win the battle and lead to just pretty much a complete absence of beta cells. So this is always an insulin-dependent disease and has usually a juvenile onset. Type 2 diabetes, so this is Gary Hall, an Olympic swimmer. And this guy, he's not an Olympic swimmer, and he has the obesity-associated form of diabetes, which we will all develop if we keep eating lunches like we just did. The point I'm trying to make here, so this is the much more common form. By age 70, up to 10 or 15% of people have type 2 diabetes. And the point I want to make here is that people usually think of stem cell replacement therapies for type 1 diabetes, where we know we have autoimmune beta cell destruction. But even in type 2, if you look here, so here's the islet of Langerhans in a normal person. Here's what it looks like after you've had type 2 diabetes for 20 years. And you can see this islet is all shot to hell, and the insulin cells have been replaced to a large extent by this amyloid proteinaceous-like material. So whether you have type 1 or type 2 diabetes, it's essentially a beta cell disease, and you don't develop overt diabetes in type 2 until you have a substantial loss of beta cell function. This is why it's important. It's an exploding disease in our population. Even type 1 is increasing in incidence for reasons that are not very clear. People have various speculations about that, having to do with our society being too clean and, you know, neurotic mothers trying to keep their babies in a sterile environment. But that's just the hypothesis. So today, though, we're going to really talk about different approaches to replacing beta cells. A lot of people talk about xenogeneic sources, pigs primarily. That's not really a stem cell issue. That's really an immune issue, maybe an infectious disease issue, and is not going to be a topic of any of the speakers today. We're really going to focus on ultimately moving towards a human source. And if we're going to look at human sources, even if you start with a mouse model, you can talk about islets as we just did, and you could talk about Anil Bhushan from UCLA is going to deal with this part of the equation, and Anil has done some fabulous work on a beta cell replication. Can it happen? He's going to talk about some mechanistic aspects of that new story, I understand. Well, if you can't make beta cells from beta cell replication, maybe there are endocrine progenitors within the adult pancreas. And this is an area of interest in our own lab. But most likely, if this can happen, a process called beta cell neogenesis, it seems to involve a recapitulation of embryonic pathways. And Jim Wells is going to, from Cincinnati, is going to tell us about how you make a pancreas during embryogenesis and how you could make beta cells during embryogenesis, with the hope eventually of applying that knowledge to perhaps beta cell neogenesis. All right. And finally, if we fail at either of these, well, we always have embryonic stem cells. And if we have locally the most prominent, the leader in this field is a company called NovoCell. And Ann Bang is going to tell us about making beta cells from ES cells. And of course, that invariably would involve expanding cells in vitro prior to transplantation. So I think we've got it all covered.